Well, hello and welcome to After the Sermon. This is a podcast we do here at Bethany to help us dig deeper into our Sunday messages. And I am Tammy Dalal. Today I am joined with Josh Walker. Usually you are on the other side of the camera.
I am.
It is great to have you on this side of the camera.
Speak for yourself.
there you go. No, I love it. We get to have some fun conversations before it all starts, and I'm glad to have your voice be part of that. And Pastor Billy Hested, this is a bittersweet moment for me. So this is our last podcast with you. I am excited for what God is doing in your life, but there's some grief in it too. You're really worked on this sermon, want to challenge us well. We've come out of John and where Jesus said to follow him, and you want to kind of encourage us to follow. So, correct?
Yep.
And what passage are you going to be in this week?
Yeah, I'm kind of be a little bit all over, but I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I've thought about this message for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, what would I say if I had one last message to preach? It's kind of interesting. When I had my accident, I was sitting in the hospital, you know, knowing that, like, hey, I'm probably going to be leaving in a couple months and stuff. And there was a lot of uncertainty because, like, I was in the hospital, you know, not knowing what's going on. But I had a lot of time to think and pray. And, you know, a lot of things brought me to this moment. So it's kind of interesting, you know, in a way too. But listening to David preach last week, it was kind of cool how God sheared all that up, because I knew I wanted to really go with this idea of what it means to follow Christ. And it's like right there in the middle, but in a very intricate point of John 21. And I'll do that this Sunday too, kind of walk back through just really quickly through what had happened and this sweet interaction that Jesus and Peter have. That's kind of where we're focusing, but we're going to look at the other aspects of where Jesus said to his followers, right? Said to these people, he said, follow me. There's some interesting aspects about that too, each case.
Right. And I know you're going to start with challenging us that follow me probably doesn't mean to us what it would have meant to the people then. So
you think in our world, right? And we like to put a lot on teenagers and young people, but I think it's true for all of us, right? We don't really grab at what Jesus was getting after, what he meant, follow me. There was so much more cultural context. And we could use the word watered down. I don't think that's really fair either. It just has a different meaning,
right?
In our social media world today and stuff, like, it's easy to click a button and say, you follow this person.
Right.
And we don't think much about it, right? Because we could follow thousands of people and thousands of different teaching. And it's kind of interesting. I was thinking, like, man, if somebody looked at all my subscriptions on YouTube, they would think I'm a very weird guy, because it goes from, like, barbecuing, hunting, to painting furniture, to, like, all these things, you know.
I got news for you, though. You are a little bit of a weird guy.
I am.
Me too.
My wife would say amen, amen.
So what would your YouTube channel reveal to us, or your Instagram?
I mean, music, all sorts of kinds of weird music. Obviously, like, filming stuff. Star Wars.
Yeah, we probably follow a lot of the same graphic artists kind of people.
Yeah, that's
too.
True. Logo
so,
people.
I'll tell you what's interesting. I am friends with Carrie Stoa, and they love little dachshunds at their house. So she will send me these silly, and I'm not a dog lover, just, you know, for the record, but she will send me little fun clips, little reels, and now my Instagram thinks that I like dachshunds.
Yep.
So it's amazing that even if you love someone else, what they follow filters
that's
in,
really good.
Filters
it,
into
it
your
falls
world.
Into
yes.
you.
Well, and that crosses over for my wife now too. So she'll get ads about things that, like, I'm interested in, and she definitely isn't. She's like, do you get these ads? And I'm like, no. And she's like, oh.
Well, there's probably some analogy there you could use.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't even thinking about the follow me thing, though. I was thinking, even outside of a social media context, I don't think it means the same thing to us. Because if I came down to one of your offices and said, hey, follow me, you would assume there's an end point. Like, I'm just going to take you to another point in the building, or worst case, we're going to drive somewhere. But you're assuming that in the next brief little bit, there's going to be an end to it. But when Jesus says, follow me, I assume his intention is for
forever. That's a really good point too. Yeah.
And even in that point, I was reading it today in 21, and I was like, someone could make the case that Jesus was talking about follow him in his way of death. because it talks about mm-hmm. that, you know.
Yeah,
because
it's right above
that. It's right above that. Yeah. But I think it's much more than that, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you look at that story, it's kind of like Peter's story backwards. You know, he's talking about, hey, you know, I found you fishing. You know, mm-hmm. that's where he found him fishing. Mm-hmm. He goes through, says three times, you know, do you love me? And gives him three different commands referring to the denial, you know, and stuff. But he ends on that point. The very first thing that he called Peter to do was to follow him, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and again, it just like, I think there, it comes at a cost. And that's the part where I really like, I don't think we get that today, because it's, it costs me nothing, almost nothing, to follow someone on social media, to say that, you know, I'm friends with most people and stuff. Like we kind of watered that down in a way too. But it had so much meaning to mm-hmm. it back then. And it's kind of, I play around with this idea of what are other words that we kind of change meanings, or we have our own meanings for words and stuff. We make up words, you know. I really make fun of Midwest people in this one. Okay. I really enjoy it. So. Okay.
Well, I know when Josh and I were working on the questions, he said, or from where you're from, right? Like the region. So what do we say that seems odd to you, Mr. Billy?
No, it's funny. I use the words because I actually enjoy them. So I pick on you, but I actually use most of the words, like, don't you know?
Okay.
Oofta. Okay. I see that one all the time.
I wonder how that's going to go over in Pittsburgh when he pulls out.
They're going to eat you alive.
Yeah, it pulls out.
They have really weird words.
Okay.
Like, users, I think, is what they call people, like use guys or something like that is how they say it. They said it and I can't remember.
Oh, wow.
But it was really interesting. I was like, they have their own, of course, every region I've been in has their own dialect. But Midwesterners do not think that they have an accent or a dialect. I find that truly hilarious.
That was always funny to me when I moved here as well. They're just like, oh, you sound funny with your Canadian accent. you betcha. Okay.
I spent a summer in Virginia Beach. Andy and I were Campus Crusade kids, and they would pick on how long my O's were, like that I draw out my O's. So,
yeah. And you have a really hard time with A's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a big.
Yes, I do. Over there on the roof. A bag of milk.
There you go.
Yep.
So cost. Let's dig into the cost a little bit. And some things that I know you're going to do a whole section on why we leave, that, you know, if we, and then I think that's good to talk about what pulls us away.
Yeah. So, you know, and Jesus says this, you know, he does, but we go through I won't go through every single one, but I'll hit the main ones, especially the ones that Jesus uses where he says, hey, follow me. And almost every single one of them, I would say every single one of them has a cost to it, right? It says, follow me, you know, let the dead bury the dead and come follow me, right? That comes at a cost,
that's
right?
That's an intense one.
That's an intense one, right? And there's many others, but the one that he's most explicit on this, and there's a few of them, is in Luke. In Luke chapter 9, and he has another one in Mark as well, and it's almost the exact same wordage, but here's what it says, and start in verse 22. It says, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits himself, or loses his soul? In a lot of other translations, it says there.
So you were wise, Josh, because the word daily is right there when you said, yeah, so good job. But cross, because we don't have Roman soldiers before us and we are not seeing people hanging on a cross, it doesn't have the same meaning for us, even the word, I don't think.
Well, even I would say post Jesus on the cross, we have a different context than what they would have heard when they heard that.
So what do you think they heard, Billy?
But you got to see it. Okay, they hadn't seen Jesus on the cross yet, even though he was kind of explicit, like, hey, I'm going to have to die, right?
It wasn't an international symbol for Jesus.
It wasn't. Like, yeah. And so they're hearing this and they're thinking, oh, you're saying that
I have to be willing to follow you instead of the Roman government, right? Mm. Even if it costs me my life. And imagine it this way. I have to follow even if it gave me the lethal injection.
Okay. Right?
Would you be willing to follow me? Like, that was their highest corporate punishment for rebellion. And they divvied that one out like candy.
Yeah.
You know, lots of people died by the cross.
So the equivalent for you and I would be a lethal injection.
Lethal injection, okay. You know, electric chair if you're a little older. Like, those, that kind of thought. And it wasn't just that, like, you did something wrong. It was the shame that went along with it, mm-hmm. right? Like a shameful act. You did a shameful act that is rebelling against what your authority of this world would say.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So yeah, it's kind of an interesting depiction. We don't pick that up so easily, because what people hear a lot of times when they hear cross, they think burden, you know, like, oh, I got to pick up my cross daily. I got to go to work. Mm-hmm. It's just like
everybody does that, not just Christians.
yeah or, you know, I gotta deal with this person, they're so miserable, you know, they're mm-hmm. my burden, they're my cross I gotta bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not really what it means. It and he says it pretty explicit in that text too. He's saying deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here's a good question, and for all of us, and I think even for myself, is what does it really mean to deny yourself?
I've been kind of thinking about this in some regard. I think it's, mm-hmm. we don't think about how opposite the Christian faith is to literally every way that we exist in the world, and especially in our society. Like, mm-hmm. like, I think it's hard for us to even understand what deny yourself means, because in our society, it's like, mm-hmm. why would you ever deny yourself? Like, do what's best for you is,
you do
what's
you.
Viewed as
is,
right.
You is do the you. Mantra. Yeah.
And you know, there's parts of that are responses to other unhealthy things in our country's past, but for those, like, it's all about self-focus. So denying what yourself is, like, totally opposite of what the world says.
Yeah. And it's been that way since the beginning of time.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think you're going to speak about denying yourself isn't saying how God created Tammy, Billy, Josh individually. Mm-hmm. It is loving others more than myself.
Yeah.
Is that correct? I mean,
absolutely.
Okay.
And that, yeah, that's a good point, because what we tend to do is we tend to take something Jesus says and we take it so far mm-hmm. that we lose the actual meaning, mm-hmm. right? And there's a sense that there's a part of me that is sinful, right? Mm-hmm. That needs to be weeded out, sanctified by Jesus Christ. But there's part of me too that was designed uniquely that God wants to utilize to be the light of the world, mm-hmm. right? And it's intricate. It's just like mm-hmm. we said, we follow different things. Even though me and Josh, we have some similarities, we have things vastly different, mm-hmm. right? And me and you too, mm-hmm. right? All of Absolutely. Us do, but there's connection.
I'm not
there.
Killing any deer this year.
That's amazing. So, I would have never guessed it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, hopefully I am, right?
There you go.
But yeah,
do they have deer in Pittsburgh?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Lots of deer.
So, okay.
Yeah, lots of hunters too.
Mm. Was that your fleece? There for God, like, there's deer. Lord, I hear your voice.
I had to really deny myself in that moment. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, it's just, that's another thing I think that's important too. You're right, Tammy, that mm-hmm. we can't. And not to justify ourselves, well, God wants me to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes and no,
right?
That's a mm-hmm. yes and no thing. But really what he's getting here, and you hit it on the head, is that we care for others more than ourselves, mm-hmm. right? And ultimately, our care for Christ, and mm-hmm. out of that is going to flow care for others.
Mm-hmm. Which is hard to do.
It is.
So I think for me, just having children, you can think you're pretty okay until your baby's crying in the middle of the night and you just want the baby to stop crying at all costs, you know? So,
yes, I've been there.
You see, yes. So, yeah, I really did see my need that way, you know, and my selfishness. I did not want to deny myself.
Yeah.
So, yep. On those nights.
I feel like there is an aspect of it that I think in our current culture, there is, like, we do identify ourselves with things that might be sinful, though. So I think in that way, it can feel like, like you're saying, there is a part of me who God made that is, like, unique and, like, good, mm-hmm. but there's parts of me who God made that I do need to deny, that are, like, sinful. So, like, if mm-hmm. you know, if I say, well, I love slashing people's tires, Like that's just like that's just like that came. I know. I was trying to think of something that wouldn't offend anybody. This is just part of who I am. Like this is like my hobby. This is like at me at the core. This
brings me joy.
Like obviously I should stop. I think there's other you know less crazy examples of that.
Yeah, there's things that more gray sometimes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I probably the one that our society. Puts at the top is sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I've had a lot of talks with kids on this, you know, teenagers and stuff. And my biggest encouragement to them is not to label themselves. Mm-hmm. Right. That's the danger.
Right.
Your identity is not your sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. And if there's anywhere to get a foothold of what Christ is trying to teach them, it's that, mm-hmm. you know, and I have a cousin who really struggles on this and grew up in church like I did and mm-hmm. stuff. And it was interesting. She said, you know, I don't identify myself as my sexuality too. She got that. And mm-hmm. that was big. And I felt like that it was helpful to have other conversations mm-hmm. Many times. But you can do it with anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally anything.
I was thinking when I wasn't thinking slash tires or sexuality, but I'm like sarcasm. What if, because we've talked about that this week, it's just easy, you know, to be sarcastic and be funny, but that may be something that the Lord would say you need to pull back a little bit if we're doing words of life.
Okay, Jamie, okay. I think for me too, I think like this one's so tricky in my life is being like conflict adverse is like, I don't, like conflict with people, but mm-hmm. you can make that seem godly really easy. So mm-hmm. like, oh, I don't want to hurt Billy's feelings by calling him out for that sin mm-hmm. that God has clearly pointed out for me to tell him, but mm-hmm. there's something, oh, I'm just being gentle. Mm-hmm. And you can do the same thing on the other side too. Like but that's the one for me is I can get away with that.
Yeah. And I am the opposite of that.
Yep.
I like conflict because I like to control it. I want to be able to say like, no, it's not going to have power over me.
Right.
And so like, I want to be head on it. You know, mm-hmm. we're both trying to do it. We're trying to deal with it in different ways. Mm-hmm. Right. And again, if that's like pushing people to where they can't handle it, then that's not good. Mm-hmm. Right. It's not really producing godliness.
Right.
That's the key.
And I feel like there's like a duality in that of there's like a part of that God made me to be maybe more gentle than you. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of you that God made to be more like on top of those things. Mm-hmm. And we can abuse those things in our own sinful way to like subvert what God is doing, mm-hmm. or we can use them to accomplish what he's doing.
Well, if you come back to the whole denying and being created uniquely, just to sit next to the two of you and see how God has uniquely made each of you when done well, following Jesus, not in your own. Yeah, that's it. So we talked about cost, we talked about following. I know there's a section where you're going to share that we want to be imitators of those who are imitators of Christ.
Yeah.
And so I love doing this. Is there someone in your life, Billy, that really challenges you, really the Lord uses for you to follow them following Jesus' footsteps?
Yeah. Man, I almost don't feel right naming names, but,
okay.
you know, but there's lots of people. I would say largely our elders have been that for me in the last 6 years.
Okay.
You know, and seeing our strengths and weaknesses together, mm-hmm. even into it with staff and just going through very difficult things, mm-hmm. You know, and going back to what Josh just said there and stuff like, you know, me being more conflict ready, mm-hmm. And stuff like, them being able to say, okay, Billy, we're going to allow you to handle this situation and be involved in the situation and stuff. And other times saying, you're not the guy for this job, you know, and that's been great. And it's collectively, you mm-hmm. know, it's been a collectiveness. And as long as we're all denying ourselves, it all works mm-hmm. out
right.
because it's not about Billy, mm-hmm. you know, it's about like us truly leading the church to a better end. Mm-hmm. And it's just been really growing for me mm-hmm. in that sense.
And I'm assuming you have someone too that you feel
like. I mean, I have quite a few. I feel mm-hmm. like I feel like I can see the way God has used all the people in my mm-hmm. life that are there. I feel like everyone's very different from me. I don't know mm-hmm. that I have a ton of people, maybe besides Tammy, mm-hmm. who are sit in our a very similar personality lane. And I think that God has used that to sanctify me mm-hmm. a ton. And I hope them too in other ways. Like, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah.
But I can see in my life where, like people like Billy or David or, mm-hmm. any number of my friends who are more like direct mm-hmm. help me do that better. Because mm-hmm. I probably, what, 8 years ago, Josh would avoid all conflict. And then mm-hmm. I think that has helped me a ton. Mm-hmm.
I would say the same thing. I mean, there's definitely not just one. And I think that's the beauty of yeah. God giving us friends to do that. So what stops people from building those relationships?
Yeah, I think rejection is probably the largest one I've seen. Mm-hmm. People are afraid of people saying no. Mm-hmm. I think for me, you know, people who've let me down have stopped me from pursuing those things too. Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. like, well, we were in agreement that, you know, you would be an imitator for me, mm-hmm. right? You would be someone who's discipling me in their busyness or whatever it is, their struggles and stuff have gotten in the way. And then, you know, I feel let down mm-hmm. and I don't continue to pursue those relationships, mm-hmm. you know, allow other people's brokenness to ironically stop me from overcoming my brokenness. Mm-hmm.
So. Mm. Yeah, that's good. Can you think of any other reasons that we would not do that?
Yeah, I think that's a big one for me too. Like just like the people let you down, mm-hmm. you know, like I think that's something we don't often talk about. It's something you should expect from like, mm-hmm. You know, discipleship relationships or mm-hmm. community is that they're gonna hurt you and you're gonna hurt them and you're gonna make mistakes. But mm-hmm. I also think letting go of that piece of who I am or that thing is hard, and like having that relationship with someone else means that I'm going to let go of certain things about who I am mm-hmm. In order to have that. And I think that makes it hard to say I'm gonna like, I mean, deny myself to tie it back in, but mm-hmm. I think that makes it tough.
Mm-hmm. And I can totally agree with that. I mean, there is a disillusionment when we see the depravity of man. Hopefully that would make us run to the Lord and realize how amazing he is, that he came for depraved us. Mm-hmm. For me, I think it is just that vulnerability and that transparency and feeling exposed. Would that be a reason for mm-hmm. me to not pursue? I choose to reject that and know what's good for me, but I totally can see where that would stop someone from having those relationships. So, well, I know, Billy, I know people are watching, and this is probably going to be one of our hardest hit podcasts because you are very dearly loved here and you're going to be missed. And when you're given your sermon, you probably aren't going to get to share a ton about your journey, but obviously you are following God's calling, and that comes with a cost as much as their excitement. Do you want to take a few minutes just to kind of share a little bit of that journey with our people?
Yeah. I think, you know, largely because I've been in this place before and stuff, and, you know, having to leave comforts and leave the comfortability of relationships and stuff and going into others, you know, and stuff. So it as much as like, man, I've loved Wisconsin, I've loved this church family, I've grown a lot here, my family's grown a lot here. I don't know. I'm sure that there's going to be like, oh man, I lost this aspect of this part of my life, just like mm-hmm. I had the other ones mm-hmm. And stuff. And there'll be a sorrow and sadness about it. Mm-hmm. But right now it's just like, man, I know God's involved in this. And mm-hmm. I've felt that in the spirit for a while. And the reward of following whatever Jesus has for me just seems like it's going to so far outweigh that. Mm-hmm. But I think the one thing that has been the biggest is my friendships that I've made here. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't say I struggled having friends, but I struggled having deep friendships. And it was almost always as I was the discipler or the one expected most mm-hmm. of my adult life, mm-hmm. right? And it was because I was around kids all the time, teenagers and stuff. And I loved it, right? Mm-hmm. And it was hard, though, because it was just like you can't confide in a teenager. Mm-hmm. Or shouldn't confide in a teenager.
You can. Don't. Yeah.
You know, somewhat though, you know, there mm-hmm. there has to be a line there, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But here I've been able to just grow in with other men and mm-hmm. other women and ministry and mm-hmm. and just really grow as a believer. Mm-hmm. And I think that to me has been something that's been sweet. And I hope that God will give me those relationships where it's just not expectation Billy on a pedestal, mm-hmm. right? So that's one thing. And also, you know, man, the Midwest, I was really shocked. It's really fit me as, you know, the things I love to do, the things I love mm-hmm. to be a part of, the type of people here. And there's uncertainty about that, you know, going into Pittsburgh area, you know, and stuff. And
is Pittsburgh more of a big city kind of place?
Or? Yeah, it's called the biggest small city in America.
Okay.
So it's about 400,000 people in Pittsburgh. I'm outside of Pittsburgh. You know, it's still kind of heavier populated, definitely heavier populated than here.
Okay.
But it still has like the country feel and everything as well. So yeah, it's kind of a big city. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really big about amenities, you know, and stuff. This can be great for Kat, you know, all the shopping places and stuff like that. But to me, it's like, man, I love my drive from back and forth to work to be able to pray and not see a million people, you know. Mm-hmm. My biggest worry is being behind, you know, someone who's really slow and stuff, you know.
You'll have to deny yourself.
Deny myself.
You'll have to deny. Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, not have to deal with traffic and all these other things. So, yeah, it seems pretty small in the sense. I know some people are like, oh, man, you're giving up friendships. You know, you're giving up all these things and stuff. Just like, I know God's going to work that out. Right. And I'm always going to have a closeness here. And the experiences I've had, like when I lived in West Virginia and the students that I still communicate and the people I still communicate there, it's like an old glove. You know, you go there and it's just like, bam, you know, just go right back into those old conversations and stories and friendships. And there's a familiarity about that. And I feel like that's what it's going to be at Bethany. I really do. Like, this feels like home to me.
Okay.
And I feel like it always will be.
I mean, I would think, you know, just watching from the outside, a cost that you are having to pay in following Jesus is you have a little boy who has some deep friendships now, and you have a wife with some real friendships. And so to tug at your heart.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. You know, the hardness of that and stuff. Well, it's easy for me. Yeah, it's definitely hard to watch them go through. To those things and stuff, but yeah.
Okay, so I'll throw this question out so you can think of it. Obviously, as he's obeying Jesus and following him, we have to do the same.
Yeah.
And so there is a cost for us. So think about what you're going to miss most about Billy, and then I'll do the. And unless you've got it at the top,
easy.
Go for it right now.
Easy.
No, yeah, it'll be easy because I'm ready for Billy to go. No, I think whenever he's preaching, it's Fridays around here are so quiet. Like there's just only like a few of us that work on Fridays, and so. When Billy's working on a sermon, he'll just be thinking of something, and he's such a verbal processor. So I'll just see him with sort of a glazed look in his eyes walking down the hall, and then he'll come in. He's like, I'm working on something. And what do you think of this? And then it can be a 15-minute conversation. It can be an hour conversation. It can like, but we go all these different places, and we're so, I think we think similarly in some ways and different in others in ways that it makes the conversation
compliment each other
really like, interesting, and we can challenge each other in really cool ways. And so, yeah, it's going to be really quiet on Fridays now. We've opened my music louder.
There you go. Yeah. I think it has just been an honor to watch you these years. And, you know, I feel kind of motherly to some of you guys because I could be a lot of your moms. And so to watch what God has done and to watch the man that you developed into. And so even just the way the creativity of your brain and how you come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. And if we're sitting in a staff meeting and like you can, it's almost like you can see it happening, you know, above your head. Yeah. And so, and so I'm going to miss, how God has used you. I mean, I think we just have a neat team. We have a lot of fun here. We laugh like I don't want to cry, but you are going to be missed, and your beautiful wife and your babies. And, you know, so you have one little girl that just hugs me all the time and makes me feel so special. Who's going to hug me like that? So yeah, you will be missed. So there is a cost for us too, but there is an excitement to know that God is doing something for you, but I sense he's doing something here too. Yeah. So
it's better doing something.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's up to something. And I just say like, man, God's really done that all along the way. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's kind of interesting, like the denying of self, the cross, the whole idea there is death. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, being a pastor and stuff and being at funerals, there's ones that are just incredibly sorrowful and mm-hmm. like you, uncertainty there. Mm-hmm. And there's ones like I think of like Dick Guywitz, mm-hmm. which is just like an insane celebration, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know, there was sweetness about it. It was like bittersweet, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not dying by any means and stuff, but you know, there's a sense of denying self again. Mm-hmm. And there's things that had to die in me of mm-hmm. thoughts of what was going to happen here with me. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, man, it's like a bittersweet, but mm-hmm. it's just like, I know God's involved. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing is maturing as believers is really, really seeing that, man, it's better when it's not about me. Mm-hmm. It is. It's better. And because God's got his hands all in it. And the more I try to steer the ship, the more messy it gets, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm excited for that. And Bethany, you mm-hmm. know, that as much as God's leading me somewhere else, he's leading you guys to something else. And I have no doubt in my heart that you're going to prevail.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. Well, yeah. And I think all of you gentlemen have done a good job helping us to realize we're following Jesus. We are not following Billy Hested. We are mm-hmm. not following Tyler Fisher. We are not following Parker Robbie mm-hmm. or David Baxley or whomever the Lord has up there. Mm-hmm. But you are always pointing us to Jesus mm-hmm. and a great ending sermon for you to will we follow and what does that look like? So
I hope we remember that going forward, you know, that we enjoy the time we have with, you know, mm-hmm. our people, but then can remember that Jesus is the mm-hmm. consistency in our life.
Right.
In the end.
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep him at the center.
I mean, we will miss the barbecues. I mean, that's going to be tough. I know.
I have never had more people talk to me about barbecues than anything. Did you give someone your recipe? Can someone do the smoker?
If you or anyone you know how to use a giant smoker, please call this number.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Is there anything else, any last charge you'd like to give us or anything we've missed in our talking today?
You know, I think, you know, learning things about the Midwest, learning things about this church, and I'm going to say this in the message too, but let the why are you following Jesus really be what motivates you, right? And I think it's because we can all be a religious people. We all have things that we like really focus on, like how I'm doing this. And if there's anything I can encourage you with church is don't focus on the house. Don't focus mm-hmm. on things like the music, our childcare, our coffee shop. Those are the sprinkles on top, if I could say that, right? Mm-hmm. Like those are great things that we can cherish and we can love and we can praise Jesus for. But at the core of who we are, why are we gathering? Why are we here? And it's truly because the love of Christ, mm-hmm. right? It goes back to what Jesus mm-hmm. said to Peter. Mm-hmm. It's not a call for just the leaders. It's a call mm-hmm. for all of us to love him. Mm-hmm. Do you love him? Mm-hmm. And if you do, follow him mm-hmm. and allow him to take you on whatever journey it is. Mm-hmm. He isn't calling everyone to leave this church, mm-hmm. but he's calling you to follow him. And it may cost you something extremely dear to you. Mm-hmm. I can promise you that if you surrender that and you give it to God, you will be blessed because of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think we can say that about you as we see a man who loves Jesus and motivation matters. So it's going to be a great sermon. So
yeah, I hope so.
Well, I hate to say goodbye because that means this is done, but it is time. So thank you for joining us. And we'll be starting Ecclesiastes next week.
I am quite excited.
Okay. So so start digging into that book to be ready.
Happy Mother's Day. Here's the most depressing book in the Bible.
I know. That is what we're doing to you. Sorry. So, but thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.